So welcome everyone, thank you for coming. Before we get into things, I want to say something about metta, loving kindness. Nice job, David. That David led us on at the end of meditation. Loving kindness is not just a nice meditation that we tack on at the end. It's really much more important than that. You know, in a certain way, we could say that what we did tonight, we practiced two aspects, very important aspects, of what it means to practice this path of awakening. When we practice mindfulness, we are learning to live in reality. It's important that we live in reality. So the choices and decisions we make in our life are based on reality and not just about our thoughts about reality, or not simply about kind of our reactive conditioning, for which many of us have been conditioned to deal with things. So mindfulness allows us to see, hear, smell, taste, touch, and feel what is going on in reality. That's like, in Buddhism, that's baseline, right? That's the place that we want to begin from. Always we want to begin from reality. And mindfulness is that torch, is that light, is that lamp that lights up reality, so we can see the present. Concentration, as I said earlier, is a further kind of training of the mind that takes the mindfulness, in other words, mindfulness, let's say, reveals to us that we're breathing, right? Most people, they're never aware that they're breathing. If you said to them, "Are you breathing?" they would say, "Oh yeah, of course I'm breathing." But if they've ever taken a mindful breath in their life, that would be unusual. Right? So even though something like the breath is going on continually, most of us are not conscious to it. So mindfulness reveals to us that our body is breathing, and concentration is an aspect of the Buddha's mind training in the meditative tradition that allows us to develop what's called calm abiding, which means it trains the mind to abide in calmness. How does it abide in calmness? Because it is focused on something, right? And as opposed to a generalized mindfulness, which is just revealing what's ever arising wherever we are in the moment, concentration is a conscious choice to concentrate on something, right? And when you're concentrating on something, you're sort of excluding concentrating on other things. So we might say that when we're sitting here, there's a lot going on, right? There are sensations in our body, there's our breath, there are sounds, there are things to see, there are tastes, there are smells, there are thoughts arising, right? There's actually, mindfulness reveals, awareness reveals, there's a lot going on, right? But to make a commitment to focus on the breath is concentration, right? And again, the concentrated mind learns to dwell in peacefulness, in happiness, in calmness. And in that state of concentration, as the mind develops that capacity, sort of body and mind begin to integrate on their own, and one feels a natural sense of wholeness and stability. That all comes from the practice of mindfulness combined with concentration. So that's a good... That's a good foundation for mental health and emotional health. But on the realm of emotional health, loving kindness is very important. Because we are not simply, I would say mindfulness is not enough. I mean, we can go through life being very mindful and present to everything, but as human beings, there's more going on in life that mindfulness can often reveal to us. But how do we respond? Right? How do we respond to each other? Right? And as you know, as human beings, we are doing a lot of relating. You notice that? I mean, we really spend a lot of our life in relationship. In relationship with ourselves, in relationship to family, friends, work colleagues, you know, community, society, on and on and on. The world, the earth, animals. There are a lot of living beings. What is our relationship to them? How do we relate to them? And in this fundamental teaching, we are instructed, we are encouraged to take that open-heartedness, that caring, that friendliness that we sort of spontaneously and naturally offer to people we care about, right? Which is a very narrow circle for most of us. We may count it on one or two or three or four hands. Very small. And the Buddha's teaching says, please look at that. How narrow our hearts have become. How limited our hearts are. Right? Because if... And this is a fundamental, again, one of these fundamental truths of Buddha Dharma, of Buddhism, that we are all interconnected, we all are one, we all inter-are, there is no separation. Then therefore, in truth, I am you and you are me. Well, if that is true, we know that even the most selfish person wants themselves to be happy, wants themselves to be free of suffering, wants themselves to have the basic conditions of happiness in life and well-being, want to succeed, want obstacles removed. Again, most of us don't have to practice any kind of Buddha Dharma to wish that for ourselves. But, you know, we've kind of separated ourselves out and made ourselves only the ones who are worthy of that caring. So the practice of loving kindness is a practice. When do we practice it? We practice it whenever we're relating to anybody, right? Whether we're thinking about them, and most importantly, when we're in their presence. How do we view everybody we come in contact with? As friends. Right? And when someone is our friend, we what? And we care about them. We're concerned about them. Right? And if you find that that is not the way you normally relate to people, and that you hold back, that you have walls, that you have judgments, that you're very parsimonious. You share your loving kindness quite frugally, right? Parceling it out very little here, little there, and only when people meet your criteria, right? We have strong criteria. Who we're going to like, who we're going to be open-hearted to. But that's because we are deluded, right? Because we don't see. We don't see our own face when we see the face of another. Right? So again, please don't make loving kindness into just a nice little prayer or affirmation that we say at the end of practice that makes us feel good, you know. Aren't I wonderful? After my meditation, I send good wishes to everyone, even people I don't like. You know, we can feel quite proud of ourselves. But let me just say, it's just a start. That's not really what it's about. It's about the practice of. Right? which means as we go through our day and our life, whether we encounter people, quote, that we like, quote, people we dislike, quote, people we're indifferent to, it's immaterial, right? As the practice is encouraging us, we greet everyone with open-heartedness, with friendship. And again, you know, in the there's a sutra on love, the sutra on the Metta Sutra. And in the commentary on that, the Buddha said, he gave all the good things that happen to people who practice open-heartedness, loving-kindness. They'll be happy. They'll have sweet faces. People will like to be around them. And other kinds of things like that. So please practice loving kindness always. And if you find you don't do it, well, begin. Right. Begin. But do it as a practice, so you are mindful of your responses, of how you deal with people throughout the day. And more you try to equalize it. You don't live in a world where, you know, you're heavy duty on those you like, you're heavy duty on those you dislike, and you're heavy duty on your indifference, uncaring to most people. Try to cut out the extremes and kind of bring it more to the center. We're obviously people we're close to, people we're involved in. There's more active involvement in our expression of loving kindness than people that we're not that involved in. But that the basic framework in which we relate to beings is one of equality. Equality. Because we know if one thinks about it logically, one realizes there are people we're friendly with now who we were historically indifferent to. We didn't even know them, right? There may be people now who you really care about. 5, 10 years ago, you might have passed them on the street and not even given them a nod. Somebody might have told you or they were going through a misfortune. You say, oh, that's too bad, and you really wouldn't care, right? But now you do. Why? Because circumstances have changed. It's not the person. Right? They're a person, that I would imagine, that you used to like, really care about, that now you've become indifferent to. Right? I would imagine if you thought back of your friends growing up in elementary school and middle school and high school and college, and, you know, depending on how old you are, you would find that there are many people you could begin to think about that used to care about that now you're indifferent to. You haven't even thought about them.